Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Time for the thread question of the week, which means I get to hang out with Tracy Mumford on the radio in the studio. And you've got a good question because you spotted something intriguing about audiobooks. So what is the thread question?
The question is, have we reached the age where audiobooks are being cast like Hollywood movies? This comes after the announcement that George Saunders' Lincoln in the Bardo audiobook, which comes out next month, has a 166-person cast.
Who's paying for that?
Well, so this is interesting. Wow. People are saying there's a lot more energy behind it. Obviously, podcasts have become wildly popular in the last, 5, 10 years. And mobile listening has become way more possible, right? To listen to an audiobook, you no longer have to lug around a 12 CD case or a 20 cassette case.
True.
Like it used to be. So there's a couple things happening here. One, we have more celebrity memoirs than ever, right? So you have Betty White and Aziz Ansari and all of these people who are going to read their own book, right? So that seems a lot more like Hollywood and TV than we're used to in the book world. But two, because people are just so excited about audio now and it's so much easier to get it, they can spend more money. They can do these, what they're called, our full cast readings.
They're like performances. I mean, as you point out, in the dramatic sense that we're not used to from books.
Right. I mean, we're used to, Harry Potter, Jim Dale did all 134 voices in one book.
Yeah.
Right? That's
right.
Insane. It's also a really difficult art. I mean, I think everyone who's listened to an audiobook has listened to an audiobook they didn't love.
Absolutely.
Because the voices were just not right. I mean, it's a lot to ask one person to do all the voices in a book.
Not even just the voices. I mean, I kind of got turned off of audiobooks because I would find that in the first three sentences, if I didn't like the narrator or didn't trust that voice, I didn't really care what the book said.
Right. I mean, it can go sour for people so quickly. And I think one way to make them exciting and almost foolproof is to load them up. If you can get Susan Sarandon and Nick Offerman to read your audiobook, you're going to have more interest than, a professionally trained voice actor who you've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, how do prices look, by the way, on audiobooks? Because now I've been hearing from a lot of my friends who are listening to them.
Audiobooks have always been expensive. It's a huge production. So, I mean, you're looking at like a $35.
And the prices haven't come down on that?
Prices
and maybe
are not
they won't
down,
if they're doing this.
Because they're choosing to put the money into the production value, and that means bigger names.
Wow. Steph, do you listen to audiobooks?
No, I never really had until I took a long road trip down to Memphis, and I listened to the history of the Romanovs, and I bored everybody for the next 2 weeks about the history of the Romanovs.
Little morsels.
I actually, I really enjoyed it, and I liked the one narrator, the one person, and not a lot of voices, because it harkened back to storytelling and that old fashioned. You're listening to your teacher tell you a story, your parents tell you a story, and I loved that connection with that one reader.
Right.
I found that really moving. But I still would love to hear the George Saunders 160.
No question. Trace, I also wanted you to talk about what's happening with ebook sales. Did you see this from Publishers Weekly?
Well, that
Did
they
you notice that?
They are not climbing the way people thought
I
they
know.
Would. And they're,
yeah.
That's been happening for a couple years. Every year is like, oh, this is going to be the year ebooks really take off and people really buy in. And yet people love a physical book.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you think is going on with this?
Yeah, because book sales as a whole are not dropping significantly. They aren't climbing. They're staying about steady. And obviously coloring books helped a lot with that, with the steady numbers.
Don't get on the coloring books thing here.
But ebooks have just never really fulfilled the promise that they thought they would. And I think when you survey readers, part of it is people will tell you about how much they love the smell of books. I mean, it's just a physical object that people are so attached to that ebooks have not been able to take that place in people's hearts.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get hate tweets on this, but I don't care whether I'm holding a book or not. I'm immersed in the idea, and that's really all that matters. So buy books no matter what. Let's say that. Buy them at your local independent store, buy them at Barnes & Noble's, and buy an ebook. right?
Are Barnes & Noble
it's all
still
good
around?
For the industry. I don't know. Yeah.
They are.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, and that's something that indie bookstores are still, many of them have figured out some way to do it, but I don't know that anyone's mastered it, is for indie bookstores to be able to sell ebooks,
yes,
right? People
exactly.
want to patronize their favorite neighborhood mm-hmm. store. That's where they get their recommendations, all of that good stuff. But then there's the hurdle of, now how do I get the ebook from you?
That's the thread question of the week. You want to find out what Tracy and Steph and I am reading? Look it up on the thread at threadnprnews.org. And I write a book essay for the Thread newsletter every week. And then Tracy edits it and changes it all up. And you can read that if you sign up for the newsletter. nprnews.org/thread.